brothers and sisters in Christ. It is good to be here. It really is. As I think about the years that we've been coming here, how many of you have ministered to into our lives, and I can say I greatly appreciate that. And it is my desire to also to be a minister to each one of you as we serve together. I also just want to welcome each one to the service today. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to work in my life and to work in your lives. As I share the gospel, as I share what God laid on my heart, that He would bring, it would come forth, that you can receive it also as a warning and also encouragement. It's my desire to share the Word of God, to continue walking in faith. And so this morning, the title of my message is God's Word Will Not Return Void, But Will Accomplish Its Purpose. And that comes out of Isaiah 55. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55, again, I'm just so grateful for the Word of God. The Word of God, there is transforming power in the Word. Like, unlike any other book that you or I could write, it would not have the power of that this book has. And I'm so grateful. There's many sitting here today, but reading the Word of God have given their life to Christ, have found life through Christ. And that's what God's Word will do as we read the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, as we meditate upon it. It brings life, and it will not return void. So Isaiah 55, I'm going to start in at 6 or at 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's just here he's expressing who God is and how God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And His ways are so much higher than our ways. How much is the distance? How big is the distance? As far as the heaven is from the earth. That's a big distance. That's how much more God, how much higher God thinks than we do. So we do make a mistake by thinking that God needs to come down and think the way we think, or try and tell Him how to think. But no, His thoughts are above us, way beyond us. And God doesn't think like we do. And He doesn't act like we do. He's beyond that, way beyond that. Again, it's as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So how do we connect with this God if He's way beyond us? If He thinks way beyond us, and He acts way beyond us, or His ways, it's through Christ Jesus. Jesus has made a way that through Him, we, as we read the Word of God, as we read His Word, in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of His mind." But be transformed by the Word. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's as we connect, as we read the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, as we apply it, we become more like Christ. Christ is actually, He made a way for us. He opened the door that we can connect with God through Jesus. Romans 8, verse 29 also talks about being conformed into his image. The more that we read the Word of God, the more we study, the more we meditate, we become more like Christ and his actions, his ways. Then here's the key verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I send it. Again, it just gives a picture of the word. Just as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, as we share the word of God, as the word of God is preached, it goes forth, and it bring forth and bud. Then we give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's not always the same. But the word of God, as it goes forth, as it's preached, as we read the word of God, as we meditate upon the word of God, as we pray the word of God, it brings forth fruit. God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish that what it's purposed to do. And that is, as we pray the word of God, as we have, if there's people in our lives that we can pray, and just cry out to God for salvation, for healing, God's word will not return void. And it says, God, it will bring forth fruit. So how does that happen? My first point here is, again, as we read the word of God, there is power in the word. There is transforming power as we read the word of God, as we study the word of God, as we apply it, as we speak it, as we preach it. So the first point that I want to bring out is in John 5, verse 24. Again, the theme is, it will not return void, his word. John 5, verse 24. It says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The first point is God's word takes us from death to life. As we read the word of God, as we, again, study the word of God, as we read it, it takes us from death to life. Many of us here have experienced that. We were dead and we were alive. We praise the Lord for that. James 1, verse 21. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Again, the word of God is able to save your souls. It says, get rid of, verse 21, wherefore lay apart. And in some translation it would say, get rid of. And wickedness, as superfluity there is, overflow wickedness, and receive. Just put that away. Wherever, lay apart, get rid of it, and receive with meekness. Just receive it with meekness, the word. And it is able to save our souls. Many of us have experienced that, where we are saved by the word of God. As we read the word of God, And then in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. First Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Abideth there is, it's not just one time, but it remaineth. Is another word for abiding there, abideth. It's being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, many of us have experienced that transforming power of God's word. As we read it, again, as we study it, it transforms our minds. And what actually happens if we give our life to Christ? What gets transferred? It is our spirit. Again, we are made of body, of a soul, and spirit. Three part beings. And our spirit is what gets born again. Our spirit is what connects with God. And then our soul is our mind, is our will, and emotions. That encompasses the soul part. We are born again. It is our spirit that gets born again. Our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion, needs to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It gets transformed. And as we read the Word of God, that's how it gets transformed. But it's our spirit that gets born again. It's our spirit that gets right with God. It's how we connect with God is by our spirit. And I think Phil explained it very well last week of continuing reading the Word of God, continuing meditating upon it, and applying it to our lives. The second point I want to make out is God's word is cleansing. Psalms 119, 9 and 11 there. Psalms 119 is such a powerful chapter there. There's many in there, verses in there that just talks about the word of God. And it's very powerful. Psalms 119, 9. Actually, I'm going to read all the way to 16 there. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So here it talks about a young man cleansing his way. It's paying attention to the word of God. It keeps us from sin. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's talking about the young man hiding the word of God in his heart, and it keeps him from sin. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies, as much as all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Again, the word of God, if we take heed, pay attention to the, it, and then verse 11 says, that I might hide the word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I just want to challenge ourselves here that the Word of God, to hide it in our heart. And I know at one time I would have a little card that I would write Bible verses on and stick in my pocket, and then I would try to memorize those verses. And I have slipped from that. But as I prayed, sometimes when I was praying, those verses that would come, and I would pray those words back to God. That's a powerful thing. As we memorize the Word of God, as we pray the Word of God, it brings forth fruit. And I'm so encouraged. I know there's some young men here that memorizes chapters of the Bible. I would say that is just great. And how in his life, and that in their life, they can pray those verses back to God. And it will accomplish what his purpose is. I would encourage us to be serious about the Word of God, receiving it and memorizing those verses, and that we can pray according. John 15, verse 3. John 15, verse 3, again, talk about cleansing. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It tells us how. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Again, it's how are we cleansed? It's abiding in him, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Again, it's this abiding in him, how we are cleansed. As we abide in him, again, read the word of God and be obedient to the word. If it speaks to you, and just be obedient to the word. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Is a familiar verse. Ephesians 5, verse 26. It says, I'm going to start at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Why? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And he goes on to say, that's how we should love our wives. And again, how does the cleansing happen in our lives? It is by being obedient to the word. It is by abiding in the word, living the word of God, living in us. It is by repentance. If there's things in our lives that we need to turn away from, and as we repent, and as we just talk to God about it, it is cleansing, brings cleansing into our lives. And we all know how it feels to be cleansed. Coming before God, just saying, God, I have sinned against thee. And we confess our faults. And we repent. Turn away from that. That is cleansing. That feels so good at times. Again, it's just, I don't want to take away. It is, we come to God by faith. And that pleases him. You know, he is pleased when we just, even though we don't feel anything, but he is pleased when we just come before him in faith. The third point It is the sword of the Spirit. And Ephesians 6, verse 17. So God's Word, and we heard a little bit about that this morning, about the Word of God. God's Word is a spirit. And it takes, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And again, it's not new, but God's Word is a sword. All the other other pieces of armor there is a defense thing. It's defensive. We put those on so when the arrows hit. But the sword is we take that as offensive against the enemy. As the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, we take the Word of God, which is a sword of the Spirit, against that. And just like Jesus, when the enemy came to him in Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. Here the enemy comes. This was Jesus. He was up in the wilderness. He went up to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But what did he do? He used the Word of God. In verse 4 it says, "It is written, men should not live by bread alone, but every word that is proceeded out of the mouth of God." That's how we fight the enemy, with the Word of God. It's how we overcome, how we conquer. It's by the Word of God. And again, I just come back to the Word of God. If it's in our hearts, if we memorize the Word of God, we it's not going to be every time that we got to run to the Bible and then use that. It's if we memorize Scripture, use that for the battle. And just like Jesus, he knew, and he also obeyed Scripture. Fourth point. God's Word gives fruitfulness, wealth, and success. I hesitate a little bit about that, but I still thought, you know what? That is what the Word of God does. If we go to Psalms 1, verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law doth he meditate day and night." There the law is, in some translations, it's the Word. It says, "His delight is in the law, is in the Word of God, the Lord. And in the Word doth he meditate day and night." Again, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel here. A prosperity gospel would be more, I check some boxes, and then God has to answer answers according. But no, this is talking about delighting in the law of the Lord. It's delighting in His Word. Delighting and meditating upon it day and night is what it's talking about. Verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he doth shall prosper." Again, it's talking about someone that delighteth in the law of the Lord and meditates upon it day and night. And so there is, there we might even prosper in business, but we could also prosper in spirit. There is peace that comes by with that. There's peace. There's joy by meditating on the Word of God, by delighting in His Word. So it doesn't just say in our business, or although it might. I'm not saying it doesn't. But there's more than just, again, I'm just going to bring it out. It's more than just checking some boxes, but it's meditating and delighting in His Word. The fifth point is when Peter was preaching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Acts 10, verse 44. Just a beautiful picture here of Peter preaching the Word of God to the Gentiles. Verse 34 or 44. And here he is. He didn't want to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. There was a struggle going on. But he did go. He didn't have an option. Well, yeah, I guess he would have, but he went. And verse 44, where while Peter was yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And that is beautiful, how the Word of God gets preached and the Holy Spirit just falls upon them and brings conviction. Brings assurance. And just, I believe what happened here, these Gentiles, here they were. They thought they had to become a Jew to become a child of God. Now he's saying here, he was preaching to them that they can also be a part of the kingdom by believing. And there was great rejoicing. There was great rejoicing. And it says the Holy Spirit fell on them. When they heard the word, and that is a desire that I also have, is as the Word of God gets preached, the Holy Spirit would just fall and bring revelation on each one of us. Bring revelation that we could, yeah, just have a deeper understanding of who Christ is and His goodness. The sixth point here is the Word of God sets us free. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples. Let's don't forget that. It says, continue in My word. And verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, it's not just a one-time experience, but it's continuing in the Word of God. And as you continue reading the Word of God, meditating upon Him, the more truth you will receive. And the more truth you receive, the more you will be free. It's a beautiful picture. God's word will not return void. It will set us free. So many times, we can read that verse in 32 especially. The truth will make me free. But it says continue in the word. Let's don't forget that first part. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, I guess I was, as you continue reading there, it's that he was talking to, let's say, to Abraham's seed there, and they didn't realize they were in bondage. They didn't realize they were in bondage. He said, how shall we be made free? And then Jesus said, verily, verily, verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with the Father. Again, just Jesus is the one that sets us free. Hallelujah. It's not by us being good enough. It's by believing in Christ, believing in Jesus. Seventh point is the word of God comes with much assurance. That's 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. First Thessalonians 1, verse 5 is, for our gospel came not only unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men you were among you for your sake. Again, it's not just by the word of God, but it's by power of the word of God. It's by power in the Holy Ghost. It's not... You know, we can, even as we preach the Word of God, we can preach it, but we need the power to preach it. And even so, for people to be convicted, the power of the Holy Spirit needs to come upon them. And again, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. And it also brings assurance. The Word of God brings us assurance that we are. We can be a child of God, that we are in the kingdom if we hear the Word of God. We must depend on the Holy Spirit. As we talk to unbelievers, we must rely on the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. We can read, we can share the Word of God, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit as we share the good news. The Holy Spirit not only convicts people, but gives us much assurance. Hebrews 4, verse 12, and that's the eighth one, is it is living and sharp. The Word of God is living and sharp. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is that sharp. And we just praise the Lord for that. That we can take the word of God, and it brings, it is quick. It is powerful, and it is sharper. We think about a surgeon with a knife cutting away something that's not supposed to be there. That's what the Word of God does. As we read the Word of God, as we meditate upon the Word of God, as we obey the Word of God, it brings life. And it says here, and it is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, my thought on that is, let's, as we read the Word of God, as we study it, let's be obedient to it, as God reveals it to us. So those are the points I have. So there, again, just there's transforming power in God's Word. As you hear His Word, as you obey it, as you meditate it. The first point that we brought out today was God's Word takes us from death to life. God's Word has cleansing power. God's Word is a sword of the Spirit. God's Word gives fruitfulness, wealth, and success. By preaching the Word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Sixth point was God's Word sets us free. Seventh one is God's Word comes with much assurance. Eighth one is God's Word is living and sharp. So that's what I have to share this morning, but I would like to just read. I have decided to read Ephesians every morning throughout the whole chapter or the whole Ephesians, and there's times I don't do it all, but it has found it very powerful. And this I just thought I would like to read Ephesians 1, starting at verse 16, and this is Paul's prayer to the Ephesians believers. And it's something I would just like to pray over our congregation here. Ephesians 1, verse 16, and I'm going to read to 23. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Again, Jesus Christ, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us. He is interceding for us this morning. And he has put all things under his feet. And Jesus is the head over all things. This morning, as I think about the church here, I trust that Jesus is the head of the church here. I trust that he is. And it says here, he has put all things under his feet. And then, yeah, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then he gives it to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What anything separate us from the love of God? According to Romans 8, verse 37, 38, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And I'm just so grateful for that. Is maybe our choice if that gets separated. But he won't separate himself from us.